Last week, Britt said to me, I want to see what you're doing when you finish a sentence, when you finish a sermon in the middle of a comma. Because verse 19 and verse 20 in the text are only followed or only preceded by a comma. This verse really is a verse that has challenged me as few others have in Scripture. I've almost become convinced that this is Paul's life verse, Philippians 1:20. Most people know Philippians 1:21. It says, "For me to live, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But chapter 1 and verse 20 is a verse that I've prayed for us for years. When Paul says, "According to earnest expectation of my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ be magnified in my mortal body, whether by life or by death." And this verse sticks in my heart, and I want to just take time to explain this verse. But before I do, I want to introduce you to the gentleman that you see on the screen up there. This is William Borden. Some of you probably heard of Borden Milk. You remember Borden Milk? Well, he was heir to the Borden Milk fortune. He lived in Chicago, and when he graduated from school, his parents gave him, as his high school graduation present when he was 16, a trip around the world. It's the kind of money he had back in the day. So he traveled. But he had grown up in a home where Christ was Lord. And as he traveled, he saw the hurting and lost people of the world. They broke his heart. So he wrote home to his parents that he desired to be a missionary. Friends said, "How can that be? You are throwing away your life." His name was William Borden. In the back of the Bible that he had carried with him on the trip, he wrote two words: "No reserves." No reserve. Even though he was wealthy, he went to Yale University like every other freshman, but all of his friends noticed there was something about him, and it had nothing to do with money. His friend said he came to college far ahead spiritually of any of us. He had already given his heart in full surrender to Christ and had really done it. We were his classmates, learned to lean on him, finding him a strength that was as solid as a rock just because of this settled purpose and consecration. He said, here's what he wrote. He wrote, "My personal desire is to say no to self and yes to Jesus every time." Borden said that he was at Yale and the university president spoke of having a fixed purpose in life. But he said, "What broke my heart is that he neglected to say what our purpose should be and where we should get the ability to persevere and the strength to resist temptations." Surveying the Yale faculty and much of the student body, and this is back, could you see his picture? He's in the 20s. He lamented what he saw as the end result of an empty humanistic philosophy, moral weakness, and sin-ruined lives. He began to do something that would transform campus life. It was well on the first term when Bill and I began to pray in the morning before breakfast. I cannot say positively whose suggestion it was, but I feel sure it must have originated with Bill. We had only spent a short time when the third student joined us, and soon a fourth. Time was spent in prayer after a brief reading of Scripture. Bill's handling of Scripture would help us. He would read us, was helpful. He would read from the Bible, showing us something that God had promised, and then proceed to claim the promise with assurance. By the end of his first year, 150 freshmen were meeting for prayer. By the time he was a senior, 1,000 of Yale's 1,300 students met in such groups. He spoke to the most difficult students in the school. And whenever they broke up into groups of 300 to talk to the students. And whenever they came across one that was particularly hard to deal with, incorrigible is the word that he used, nobody took it. He would say, "I will take him." And he began to reach out to the orphans, widows, disabled, the drunks. He founded Yale Hope Mission. He'd be out leading men to Christ. And when people challenged him, he wrote in his Bible, They said, why are you doing this? Why are you giving up everything? He wrote, no retreat. He graduated, had high-paying job offers, turned them all down with those two words, no retreat. Went on to do graduate work at Princeton, sailed for China. Because he was hoping to work with Muslims in China, he stopped in Egypt to work with Samuel Zwemer, who was called the Apostle of the Arab, Apostle to the Muslims. And he's 25 years old, contracted meningitis. When a month, he was dead. When he found out he was to die, he wrote in his Bible two last words, no regret. No regret. You see, his was a life that at 25 made a difference in the world. His is a life that really was impacted by what the Apostle Paul says today. And I want us just to read these two verses together again and then unpack them very briefly using Borden's outline. Let's see these two words. Chapter 1, verse 20. You may stand if you wish. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul was the model of what Borden believed. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in this verse. Number one, he says he has no reserve. No reserve. There's no reserve in his heart. He says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. The word earnest expectation is a word picture. It pictures somebody who lifts up their eyes and is looking far away at one thing. Their eyes are fixed on one goal. They don't have anything else in mind. When you look at them, their eyes are totally focused on that one thing. Paul says, I have one expectation, one thing to do with this life. I have one hope in this life. No reserve. I'm not holding anything back. I mean, Paul's in prison. We're talking about a man who's already in jail for the preaching of the gospel. There, and he says, I don't have any reservations. I'm not holding anything back. There's no reserve with the gospel. He could say to the people at Ephesus, he says in Acts chapter 20 and verses 20 and 21 that, my mind went blank again. You know, thank you. How I kept back nothing that's profitable to you, taught you publicly and from house to house, repentance toward God and faith toward testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. I taught you publicly and I taught you from house to house. One message, repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I didn't hold anything back. You want to know where I get house to house from, why we do East Sunday? Because Paul did. Paul did. He went house to house. He knocked on doors in Ephesus and shared the gospel with people. That's why we do it. If it was good for Paul, it ought to be good for us. You say, well, cult groups do it. I don't care what cult groups do. Just because they do something wrong, they meet on Sundays too. Should we quit doing that too? I don't care what cults do wrong. We're going to do what's right. Paul said, I had no reserves with the gospel. I'm going to go preach the gospel. I kept back nothing that was profitable. Paul could say all of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Think about that. All of Asia heard the word of the Lord. How did that happen? Because Paul didn't have any reserves with the gospel. Paul held nothing back. Why? Paul was absolutely convicted that the Jesus that he met on the Damascus Road, the one who knocked him off his horse, the one who rose from the dead, the one who lives forever, the one who rules the world, the one who could knock him down and say, why do you persecute me? Was worth giving everything to. That Paul had finally found something that was bigger than money, life, time, valuables, religion. A person. Paul was absolutely, wholly, fully, totally committed to Jesus. He had no reserves with the gospel, but he had no reserve in discipleship. If you look at these verses in Colossians 1, these are some powerful verses because he says this. He says, it's Christ in you, verse 27, and it's him we preach, Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And unto this I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Paul said, I've got one passion. I'm laboring to see every man complete in Christ. I want to see everybody know Christ and know him as fully as they can know him. Not just know a little bit, not just know the edges, but to know Jesus and to live for him with everything they have. No reserve. But Paul also said, I have no retreat. In this verse, this is what he says. He says this, according to my earnest expectation and nothing else, nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness. Notice what he says here. He says, I'm confident. You know what I love about Paul? Love is confidence. I love the fact that finally somebody's got confidence in a message that they're willing to give their life for. And you know what? I meet people today that are totally live their lives in a pablum level. They're not committed to anything. They dabble at this, they dabble at that. They're halfway in here and halfway in there, and they try to find a little happiness in this, and it doesn't. They look at a little in this, and it doesn't. But you know what? They've not given their lives to that which really matters, and there's no surprise that they find nothing that's worth fighting for and nothing that for which they'll say, I'll never retreat from this position. Paul is absolutely courageous. He's in prison. He's been beaten for the gospel's sake. He's been arrested for the gospel's sake. He's been threatened for the gospel's sake. He's been shipwrecked for the gospel's sake. No retreat. I'm not backing down. So with all boldness, with all boldness, I don't want to hold anything back. Paul says, I am absolutely excited about the possibility of preaching with all boldness. I'm in prison. There are guards around me. They can't do anything to me. They just get to hear about Jesus. I'm so excited. I get to tell them about Jesus. There's no retreat. But listen, the reason is because of Christ. Paul says this, Christ will be magnified. What do you want to happen out of your life? I mean, when everything is said and done, at the end of the day, really, what do you want to have done with your life? You want to be able to say, well, I made a pile of money. I was a really nice person. Or do you want to say that Christ would be magnified in this body? That people would know that I was about Jesus and nothing else. Just Jesus. That I had met someone who had so captivated me, who had so loved me, who had so been passionate for me, who had laid down his life for me so that I could be forgiven, that there's something worth living for. Paul said, it's just Christ. It's not religion. Judaism didn't bring me joy. Pharisaism didn't bring me peace. Legalism didn't bring me love. But Jesus brought me all of those. And when I came to know him, he transformed me. And Paul said, I'm not retreating from Christ. I just want him to be magnified in this body. I want something to be great out of the life of Paul, and it's not Paul. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Third, notice he said, and by the way, Jim Rohn said this, is this last one. He said this, all of us suffer from one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is the pain of discipline weighs ounces, regret, tons. How many of us have something we regret? You don't have to raise your hand. I want to tell you this. I want to live a life as much as possible with no regrets. Paul said, I don't have any regrets. Christ will be magnified in my life today and on that day. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. He's unashamed today. And nothing I shall be ashamed. Boy, I say stupid things sometimes. I hurt people's feelings. And I'm so ashamed of those times. I think horrible thoughts sometimes. And I'm so ashamed of those thoughts. I do dumb things sometimes. And I'm ashamed. But I really want my life to be so focused on Jesus that I can say like Paul, nothing. I'll be ashamed. I've got a lot I regret. I've got a lot of which I'm ashamed. But I want to live this life in such a way, like Paul, that I could be unashamed today. Unashamed. But more than that, that I could be unashamed on the day. One day, we will stand before Jesus. You want to know why I challenge you to give to missions? Because one day you're going to stand before Jesus, and every penny you've ever earned is going to be played back in how you used them. There won't be any hiding, but there'll be a full accounting. You want to be ashamed with your money? See, I don't want you to be ashamed. I don't have a bit of problem challenging you to give to the kingdom, to give to missions. You know why? Because one day we're going to stand before Jesus, and on that day we don't want to be ashamed. You don't want to be ashamed watching money that you wasted on, squandered on things that burned up and don't matter. Do you really want to be ashamed on that day for that? What about choices that you make? Sure, in this life you can get away with it. You can disobey God. You can do whatever you want to do. But this day doesn't matter. The day matters. And when you stand before the living God who can replay every scene of your life on a screen a million times larger than this, do you really want to be ashamed on that day? Do you want to have squandered the life you've been given and stand there with shame on your face before the only one that matters, the only eyes that can search your soul, the only one who knows your heart and can expose every bit of it? Do you really want to be ashamed on the only day that matters? Because you can get away with it now. But listen to me. You may think, well, you just don't understand. It's a long life. 70 years, 80 years. What's eternity going to be like? What are you going to be doing 100,000 years from now? Say, well, it's hard. What are you going to be doing 100,000 years from now? You see, eternity matters. Paul said that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He didn't want to be ashamed today. He didn't want to be ashamed on the day. Somebody said the Apostle Paul had 2 days on his calendar. Today and the day. The day he would stand before Jesus. And he lived every today in the light of that day. I'm going to ask you this. What's it going to be like on the day? See, the Apostle Paul could live a life so that, like William Borden, who died at 25, the Apostle Paul could say, no reserves, not holding anything back. No retreat, I'm not backing down, and I'm not giving up. And no regrets. And nothing, I shall be ashamed. For to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. What about you? Would you bow with me for prayer? You only get one life. It's only a few years. You're going to have the pain of discipline, the pain of regret, the pain of right choices that cost you something now, the pain of wrong choices that will bring you shame then. What are you going to do with this life? What are you going to do on the day?